You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Carolyn Sherlock. Welcome to the Boat Galley. Tracking down a fuel problem. For 2 months, we had worked to solve a fuel problem on our diesel engine. Several times, we thought perhaps we'd solved it, and then when we tried a motor, we find we still had the problem. Finally, we seem to have done it. We've run the engine over 20 hours since then without even a hiccup. A bit of the symptoms and how we tracked it down. I know, taking 2 months to figure it out isn't setting any speed records. Part of that was being pinned in the harbor for days at a time by high winds where we couldn't go out to test. Other delays occurred as we researched, both in books and online, and waited for parts. And we had some guests and a few other projects. The symptoms. The engine would run fine, then lose RPMs, then come right back, and then it would lose more, and so on, eventually die. The Westerbeek has an electric fuel pump on it, and if we did the bleed procedure, 30 to 60 seconds of pumping the fuel, it would start again and run well, for a while. Then the ups and downs would start again. Everyone we talked to and all the books we read agreed that the basic problem was fuel starvation. But why? It could be dirty fuel in a plugged filter, a problem in the fuel pickup tube in the tank, water in the fuel that was getting past the ray core, an air leak, or even a kinked or collapsed fuel hose. Here's a quick recap of what we did. Our ray core hadn't seemed dirty, but we started by changing all of the fuel filters. No improvement whatsoever. We had no water in the ray core, so we ruled that problem out. We then pumped all the diesel out of one tank, pulled the tank out, and cleaned the inside of it, reinstalled it, and then ran the fuel back into it through a Baja filter. There wasn't any significant water or crud in the Baja. We knew we had clean fuel and a clean tank. The pickup tube was permanently installed, so we didn't remove it to check for blockages or cracks. Our fuel polishing made absolutely no difference. Some Westerbeek literature said we should use a 2-micron ray core, others a 30-micron. We called Westerbeek tech support, and they said to use a 30-micron if we were having fuel starvation issues. We got one. Initial testing showed that the engine was now running well, so we went ahead and made a trip to Key West to visit friends vacationing there. Just as we got into the big ship channel there, we had some RPM dips. The problem got much worse on the return to Marathon, with the engine dying several times. Since we'd had more problems as the trip had progressed, and thus there was less fuel in the tank, we suspected that maybe there was a crack in the tank pickup. We did some more reading on the tempo fuel tanks that we have, and we found that a crack in the pickup tube is a semi-common problem, and someone had figured out a way to pull the fuel pickup. We pumped all the fuel out of the tank again, and we pulled the tank. Dave got the fitting off by heating the plastic with a hairdryer and pulled it out. Our fuel pickup tube was not cracked or blocked. Dave replaced the tank. That was sort of an exercise in frustration. Looking at our fuel hoses, it seemed impossible that there was a collapsed or kinked hose. Thus, we decided to concentrate on an air leak. We knew the leak had to be somewhere between the tank and the fuel pump. This is where the fuel is being sucked, and air can be sucked in anywhere that isn't tightly sealed off. After the fuel pump, the fuel is under pressure, and it will seep out any unsealed areas as a fuel leak. That's also a problem, but it won't produce the symptoms we had of an engine losing RPMs and then dying. We had already ruled out a crack in the pickup tube in the tank. Nigel Calder recommended using the clear bottom of a ray core bowl as a sight glass to see if a leak was before or in the ray core system or after it. Simply put, any bubbles in the bowl as fuel is pumped, either through a bleed procedure or as the engine is running, means that the leak is before or in the ray core, and no bubbles means that the leak is after. I practically stood on my head to look at the ray core bowl while Dave ran the electric fuel pump. Every once in a while, maybe every 30 seconds, I'd see a tiny, tiny, tiny bubble, about half the size of a head of a pin. But all three diesel books that we have said that even the slightest bit of air would cause problems. Aha! We had a leak somewhere between the tank and the Raycor exit. Dave traced the fuel hose and looked at all the components. He tried to tighten every hose clamp. We have two fuel tanks and valves that determine which tank is being used and returned to. The valve stem seemed a little wobbly, and we called the company's tech support to see if this would let air out. They said yes, so we bought two new valves. And Dave replaced them. The new ones seemed to have as much play as the old ones. Sigh. In changing the valves, Dave had to remove our dual Raycor assembly. He checked it over thoroughly for any loose connections and, lo and behold, found that one of the unused port plugs had never been screwed in all the way, let alone had any thread sealant used on it. He fixed that, and we were confident we had the problem licked. We bled the fuel system and started the engine up while still on the mooring, and it died almost immediately. Another big sigh. I looked at the Raycor bowl some more and didn't see any bubbles when Dave ran the fuel pump. So now we figured we had another air leak between the Raycor and the fuel pump. There are two fittings, two hose clamps, and one hose between the two. I started looking at the hose very, very closely, lying on the deck with my head inside the engine compartment. I ran my fingers down the hose and could feel just a tiny imperfection next to the hose clamp by the fuel pump. It didn't really seem to be anything, but as it was the only thing we could find, Dave decided to remove the hose and replace it. When he took the old hose out, we could spot a tiny crack in it. And I do mean tiny. It was easier to see it if I bent the hose a bit. I never would have seen it. It really was only my fingers that gave us a clue. Finally, when we started the engine back up after replacing that hose, the engine ran well. We took the boat out and motored for over 3 hours in 2 to 3 foot waves. We toasted, finally tracking the problem down. The next day, we went out sailing just for fun, not testing anything, having a wonderful time. And as we started up the engine to come back into the harbor, it died. But it did start right up again, and never quit again, or had even the tiniest RPM drop. Over 20 hours of motoring, and it's been great. All we can figure is that there was one last bit of air, maybe trapped in a high spot, that dislodged. We finally declared the problem solved. Okay, the lessons that we took away from this whole experience. Tracking down air leaks is tough and can take a long time. If you hire someone, it's going to be expensive. It doesn't really take any special skills, just patience. Using the Raycor bowl as a sight glass is a great way to figure out if the air leak is before or in the Raycor, or after it. There may be more than one leak. If someone else on board has better close-up vision or more sensitive fingers for finding imperfections, get them involved. No mechanical knowledge is needed. Sometimes it's someone who isn't familiar with the system who says, "Is it supposed to be like this?" Check all your fittings and connections, including all the dead ends, as in our Raycor. The problem areas are likely to appear almost insignificant, and they may be on the hidden side of hoses. And finally, perseverance. Keep at it. Until next time, this is Carolyn for the Boat Galley.
Bonnie Lass Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonnie Lass is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ring netter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonnie Last Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. To be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnielastcharters.com.
My name is Matt Rutherford. I am the only person in history to have circumnavigated the Americas nonstop. I've sailed alone across the Atlantic twice. I've crossed the Pacific. I've sailed through the Bering Sea and around Cape Horn. I understand the challenges you will face trying to accomplish your blue water dreams. And I know how important it is to have the right boat. Whether buying a blue water boat or selling your blue water boat, Rogue Wave Yacht Sales has the experience to make that happen. Email me at matt@roguewaveyachtsales.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Bitchin from Cruising Outpost magazine, and I listen to Boat Radio whenever I get the chance.